feeling crazy about it. You like, oh, damn, I'm about to tear this shit up. Some new pee, some titties out here. Why? Like, you, and then, you know, the bitch in there bad. You like, oh, my God. So you go, you laying it down, right? And then your girl is getting piped in the room next to you, and she's making sounds you never heard before. Like, how would you feel about that, nigga? Like, again, she's like, you here, but she's like making these crazy sounds.
Like, you used to the,
yeah.
You're like,
yeah. You hitting this shorty like you making love to some brand new pussy. She's over here getting her back blown out by Mustafa and shit.
The Dasi or some
the
shit.
The big African dude on
Manta Musa.
Yo, he's that huge African dude that walks around the spot. She picked him. What you doing? You going over there and asking if she alright, or you just continuing your progress?
I mean, we're both doing our own things.
What's the conversation that, like?
It's like you cock blocking your own girl. It's like, damn, why would a cock block me? Plot swap me if I'm going in on some bitch?
Yo,
it's like you got. It's like.
And then you try to show him off, so you start hitting this one harder, and it's not working.
I pulled the dildo out.
You breaking his bitch. You got toys. Give me the toys. I'm gonna stuff everything in every hole I can find. You're gonna make a fucking noise.
There was like doing. Oh my god. The beat just goes like weird.
Yo, you saw, look, that shit was so hard it just knocked out the whole system. Everything went black and came back on.
Wow.
That shit was so hard it knocked out the whole system.
I look brolic in this shirt for some reason.
This nigga said I look brolic in this shirt. What else you got for him, yo-yos?
Did I play you,
I'm a dirty nigga. I'm rolling on a dollar bill. Don't fucking judge me.
You twerk that ass?
Do not twerk no ass for me, my nigga.
I didn't say I was going to twerk ass.
Oh, about to say.
Did I play you twerk?
I don't think I need to smoke. Probably not. I don't think so.
Hey, this is one that has Crush on the hook.
You sent me the video. I think you sent me a studio video. Because in your studio videos, you're playing all this music.
Yes. And I put them on my subscribers only on my Instagram.
Oh, so you heard? You heard that here right now, right? If you want the exclusive, subscribers only get the exclusive to these tracks.
Not the only fans. The only, like, subscribers only on Instagram.
Yeah.
This one. Do I know what sounds like this? Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. And then the crush would come.
Yo, we matching today.
My dad.
Let's go, Crush.
My dad loves this song a lot for some reason.
Of course he would.
I was like,
that's probably a freak on the low. Pause.
Should have taken him to that event last night.
That's probably a freak on the low. Should have took him with you.
My dad. If I took him to
that nigga with you yesterday.
Oh my god. Shorty looking man, kid, show me what you got.
Show me what you got, champ. Okay. 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 What?
1 5 it's a 20.
Yep.
But I'm seeing many.
Yep.
Got up a few of them. Something new to them. Got off. Show off. On the way down. If you want more, bubble up and down on the double. I'm in trouble.
Twerk, 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 twerk that ass. Yeah. Twerk that ass.
Yeah.
Twerk that ass.
That's definitely gonna be a.
My man, Crush on the track, like Spliff
yep.
Star.
Yep.
You sounded a little bit like Spliff and Busta in there, nigga.
And mind you, the guy that wanted a feature to be the feature on that for that track.
Oh, so that means my man Crush got to get paid, though.
I know. We're going to set him up, too. Like, we're going to set up his ASCAP and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, my man. Don't stun him, my man. I'll come after you for his money.
Well, I like a guy that stunts on anybody. Anything people stun me. They try to play me like, oh. Like, give me all these. This is my feature price for this crap. Like. You bugging. You know who you are. I'm sorry. Like, I respect your crap. You as a rapper and all that stuff. But, like, for that feature price, you bugging.
I gotta confess something. Yo, Crush, don't come at me, my nigga. But I'm gonna tell the truth here on the pod. So last week when we went to go see you perform, when I went to go see you perform at Katie's, shout out to Katie, she threw it a give back event. We was at Catch Astoria.
Catch is nice.
I'm in the. It was nice. Like I said, we just got to try the food to see what the food looks like. But it was nice. But I'm in the front with Crush, and me and him are telling jokes, and we just got the crowd rolling. They laughing. We roll it, and then Crush comes out with the best joke of the night. Somebody goes, "Yo, you just let this nigga make fun of you like that?" To Crush, and Crush looks at the nigga and goes, "Yeah, that's my brother. He's been doing it all my life." Yo, he got me, son. I was weak. It was so hard, like, not to laugh. These people didn't realize that I was laughing at his white lie. He told everybody that we were brothers, and I've been doing this to him all his life. Yo, that was the best joke of the night. And he looks up at me from a distance, and I'm like, yo, you horrible. And all these people are like, yeah, I get it. Look, the nose. You guys...
We start, like, making features on each of your faces.
Yo, people are trying to put features together. We ain't even related.
You should have went, like, he's the older brother. I'm going to go with it.
Yo, that was good. That was good. Shout out to my nigga Crush, yo.
Yeah, Crush.
Word up. You had a dope performance that day, too.
Yeah, we're going to definitely get him out there more musically for 2024. I want him to have, like, at least, like, an EP. At least have, like, 4 or 5 songs.
Well, look, this is... I do the same thing. Like, every single person that comes to my studio, I don't like working for niggas. I don't like working for niggas, and it's because, all due respect, not that I don't get nothing out of it, but I don't really, unless I'm getting something out of it, all I'm doing is exercising my mind to help niggas out. When I'm in the studio and I gotta bounce a beat for Seth, when I gotta when recording niggas for free in your studio, you know, I press up clothing now. So I ask him, you want me to draw you something up real quick? And he wants to make it complicated. Like, nigga, I said I was gonna do you something for free. Why are you making this complicated? No, but could
but
you put it this here?
Why you sound so forceful saying it though?
Could you put it this here? But, could you?
Oh, like when they start getting
yeah, like nigga,
with
like
it?
I'm doing this shit already for free. Now you're so in my brain, right? I have to know that I'm helping somebody. That's the way I reconcile with doing things for free. I have to reconcile with I'm helping somebody. So what I did was I started to double down, and now I break. Like, say you come to the studio and
want to do a song.
Not even music. Say you want, yo, I like your Koji or I like your this. Could you help me set it up? Could you help me set up an ASCAP? Could you help me set up a BMI? I mean, somebody, yeah. People come to me.
I love doing those things.
You know what I do now? What? I give them the laptop and I walk them through. Yeah. I don't do it for you. I used to sit there and do it. No, I give you the laptop.
Themselves.
You could do it yourself.
Like, and then it's like, if you want to be really taken seriously as ours, like, why did you not know these things then?
Well, nigga, sometimes you don't know because you don't know. Let's just call a spade a spade. Like
I totally understand. Like, okay. You've been doing this, it's like, if you've been doing it, like, maybe your first, like, maybe first album or, like, after the first couple songs, it's like, nope, you didn't, like, really sit there and just go, like, damn, how do I actually make money off this? Do I just drop music wherever and just hopefully something hits?
Well, you know what it is, too? I think that you don't take it seriously till you start taking it seriously. For an example, I have a friend.
No, I agree with that.
I was giving him free studio time, and I would pound him in the head like, yo, nigga, you know you gotta get these mixed though, because I don't do mixing and mastering. And these songs have good potential, but you're gonna let them sit there. You gotta start paying. So now he worked out every time he comes to the studio record, he pays me, but he don't pay me to record. He pays me so I can hold the treasury for him. So the minute he hits 60 bucks, 50 bucks, we send a song out to get mixed. Guy got 12, 15 songs. They got to be mixed and mastered. Now this week he's coming over to do his BMI. Feel me? Like, I have to tell myself I'm helping people in order for me to... I don't like doing shit for free, nigga.
So why don't you learn to mix and master and charge him for that?
I guess I could. I guess I could, but I guess how... You know...
That way it speeds up the process.
It's another fucking language. It's another fucking language. Honestly, it's just another language. Not that I can't do it. It's just another language.
It's not serious until you say serious.
Well, for me, yeah, but for me, for me, it's like I never wanted or asked to be an engineer. Like, I'm just recording you. Keep it moving. Take your lyrics and do what you got to do with them. It's not my job to be an engineer. I was never, this is now, I did it because I wanted to record myself and I got tired of niggas dubbing me. When I wanted to go to the studio, oh, I'm busy. Or I got tired of the fact it was $60, $50, $70 to be in that studio an hour.
Turned to 60 and you got home studio is wild.
Nigga, but yo, but well, you say that, but I recorded in a goddamn motor home. And it's 50, 60 an hour. And right. It's fucking awesome quality.
It was like a mobile studio is like a RV type of setup.
Yeah.
That's a lot more interesting than just going to somebody's like.
Well, the RV is bad though, because when it rains, you can't record. You hear the rain, you know? Like it has its plus and minuses, but I think it all comes down to the person as well. Nigga, half of these artists record sitting down in a chair.
Yep.
Like, what's his nigga name? Lil Mabu?
Yeah.
Lil Mabu, right?
Yeah.
He was showing his studio setup. He took a bunk bed and he hollowed out the first floor, soundproof studio microphone. So he sleeps on top and records in the bottom of a bunk bed. It's genius.
Mind you, this is a kid that already comes from money. It's not like he's
born. Why you think he talks that shit? Why you think he does that shit? I don't fuck with him. I don't fuck with him. But when I see the crowd, what he does to a crowd, you always gotta salute what a person can do to a crowd, even if that crowd is mindless morons. Like, I don't know. And call it what you will. I never brag about taking another nigga's bitch like it was a trophy.
And then it's not like even it's a
like it's one thing like... if I fucked your bitch out of spite. Even that, I probably fucked your bitch because she bad. I didn't fuck your bitch in spite that you was in her first. That doesn't make sense for me when niggas do that. Like, when niggas be happy about sharing a chick. Like, when Lil Baby was saying, like fuck the other nigga, let him know we gonna have to share you for the both of us. Like, how are you okay with she just left slobbing his knob and then she gonna kiss you and slob your knob? We here now? We here now, right?
The environment that hip hop is.
We here now.
That's just hip hop environment.
That's why I don't get it. Like, what do you think about what's her name? Krishan.
Krishan Rock.
Krishan Rock. What you think about Krishan Rock?
Disgusting.
No, don't do that.
But you said I think.
Yeah. Like why? Ratchet.
Like she appeals to an audience that's disgusting.
I like blue faces, so I took his baby.
Like, there's nothing appealing to her. It's just straight ratchet, like, single mother music. I mean, she's on Milk Music. Sorry.
He said single mother music.
Yes. You can't be talking about having values and being a traditional woman, and you're a single mother.
I mean...
Like, oh, I'm a traditional, I want, and then it's like, you want these type of values for a guy? Like, oh, he gotta be this and this and that. I'm like, you're the one with the kid, not me.
Do you think that she's just damaged goods? Like, yo, just, you know.
Look at her. Look at her before and after photos in the past, like, 3 years.
No, but that's my thing, though. Like, I hate agreeing with you so much that when you say this train wreck theory.
They were calling Greenface at one point because they thought, like.
This train wreck theory you have is so right. Like,
it's not a train wreck theory.
She's a walking train wreck and got famous straight to the top.
She's a walking 9/11 at this point.
Nah, yo, you girl, you take care of your shit. I'm not even gonna clown you. You hurt, but you
look like the day after 9/11.
Nah, she just needs
when Bush
help.
Was right there.
She just needs some help. She
we're
just
gonna
some
get
direction.
The terrorists.
She just needs some direction. You know what I mean? Like,
there ain't no director. Direction's this way.
It's crazy though. I could definitely see myself on one of those reality shows.
Why don't you? I've been told you a lot.
Yeah, but they ain't gonna pick a nigga like me, B. Yeah,
they'll definitely pick a nigga.
They ain't gonna
like
pick
you.
A nigga
you,
like me.
No,
B.
If you really like. You really took it seriously? I told you, it's only serious if you're serious. Like, look, this is how I feel. I can see you on one of those shows.
That's what I was talking about, rapping too.
I told you to do comedy. I've been telling you to do comedy. You can still do comedy.
Yeah, nah, you can always do comedy. I don't know. Fucking weird.
Look, you're funny in about
weird space.
90% of
I feel like if I try to be funny, I won't be funny.
No. Think of it this way. Look at all the New York influence.
That's what's
going
to happen. I would have tried to be funny.
No. Look at like 90% of all these New York influencers, what do they all do that's like inherently interesting? Nothing. All they do is like, they'll get like sometimes those midgets to do something, or they'll get a bitch with a fat ass, or do something on the train, or do something like where they're like fucking with somebody. Like, all you NY influencers are pretty much the same on a different page.
Nigga, he is... Yo, my guy lately... my guy lately has been on fire, yo. Like, no. My guy right here...
Like, I'm just being honest, though.
Yeah, yo. Can I say it the nigga way? Huh? Can I say it Yo, y'all NYC influencers ain't shit. You ain't got nothing on yo-yos. That's what he really saying right now,
like, they don't want to work with me because they know I'll shine them.
Really? People have been declining you lately?
Like... I feel it in the air. When
cold shoulder shit?
Like, I feel it, because they'll be like...
Get the fuck out.
They'll be like, I want to work with you, let's do something, and then it's like...
Radio silence.
Then when I meet them in person, like, yeah, we're going to do something.
And they keep dubbing you.
And they keep dubbing me, and
they'll... Fuck out of here.
I was like, but you dropped like about 30 videos, and we meet up, and, let's do something. I'm like, I'm free, just let me know. I always said, just let me know, and I'll do it. This time I took in days off work just to shoot content for an hour.
That's facts.
I did the other day. I left work. Matter of fact, I left work early just to go do some yo-yo stuff.
I mean, but that's the like you just said, if you really want to do it, you're going to do it. You know what I mean? There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. So you could tell when these people don't want to work with you because it's not immediate.
Like, and then
there's no conviction there.
Another thing I'm starting to see with these NY influencers, they're doing that whole Free Palestine from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free type thing. I was like, none of y'all niggas is like that.
They ain't really about it. They're just trying to clout chase.
It's like I could honestly tell who's like really for the fight.
Kosher Dills and shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like Kosher, that motherfucker went to Tel Aviv. He did shows out there. And they knew who he was. He's for the movement. So I respect him and his whole Israel. So shout out to you, Kosher Dills, for that. Like, that's a motherfucker that's serious, like, for his team Jew. T-Jew, you knocking him out right there. But
my bad. I didn't mean
the Palestine thing, like,
oh, it's not real.
Walking down the street with the sign, like all that stuff. I was like, y'all, it's like y'all doing it one day and then y'all going to shoot like content for like 4 or 5 days and then going to find another protest to like be at and stuff.
Like, yeah, it's not real.
It's not real. It's like I could tell somebody do fright, and then it's like some people have like the audacity to go like, oh, you're not here for the move. What side are you against? Like, I don't know if you feel like the environment where it's like they're trying to make you choose sides and shit.
You know, I learn how small my bubble is on a daily basis. I learn how small my bubble is. And nobody around my circle gives two flying fucks about anything pertaining to like unless it has something to deal with like bills, Christmas, family.
Like me. When it's like that thing with,
but you work in, you see, but you work in the city. You are amongst people with like when I say my circle's small, I probably talk to maybe a handful of people a day, and that's a lot. I don't really talk to a lot of people a day. You are put in a pot. It's a melting pot. You're in NYC. You have to deal with all these opinions, seeing all these different type of people, groups. Or you don't see none of that
like,
shit.
Like, I was literally walking
home. That shit's all news for me.
Like, I was walking home on Thursday, and you know like how they have like those free the hostages things like on some of the
polls? No, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Like, I saw somebody was ripping it off.
Ninja, I don't see none of that shit. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Like, literally, I would only know this is going on because I look at a newspaper, like when I'm going into a store, or I see the news. On a daily basis, nobody is walking around flushing Queens talking about, I'm telling you, I don't see it. I don't see none of it. I don't see it. Personally, I don't see it.
It's because like you're in your own bubble. You're not trying to look for that information.
Nick, why you think I don't see ghosts? People be telling me that shit all the time. Like, you never saw a ghost for real? You never? No, nigga. I don't want to see a ghost. You ever thought about that?
You're not trying to see ghosts.
But you ever thought about that, though, you weirdos? Like, maybe you see a ghost because you're really trying to see a ghost, so your brain is like, fuck it, give him one. Give him a ghost. Like,
so those shows are like history, like Ghost Hunters, International and stuff. It's not real. Those motherfuckers believing that they hear sounds.
This is what I'm trying to explain to you. I'm not going into a place with the thought, I want to go find the ghost. I feel like when you start thinking like that, when you put your brain in that frequency, if there are ghosts, the motherfuckers smell it. He wants to see a ghost? Ooh. You know what I'm saying? I don't think about that shit. I don't walk around with that shit.
Your face, like, trying to bring it together.
Nigga, because that's what I feel like that's what motherfuckers do. Y'all motherfuckers want to ghost hunt so badly, so the ghosts come after you. Me, I'm not going to Amityville. I'm not going to going to these places to go, this is where the Marilyn Manson murders happen. What are we talking about? Like, what?
Well, it's like, why you want to be there? Like,
why would you want to be there? What's so interesting about that?
Somebody got murdered here. Why would we go to a place where somebody got murdered?
I just saw a YouTube the other day, and the guy jumped into a crime boss's mansion, and it was all broken down and shot up, and he's running with the camera, like, and he's, oh my God, there's blood everywhere. I'm like, nigga, why are you in there? There's 50 cal bullet shells. Why are you in there? And then I get it though. People are all adventurous. You got niggas that do this crazy shit. But again, I'm not.
Clickbait.
Yo, son, it's like niggas that go swimming with sharks.
For the views.
The niggas that go swimming with sharks. Yeah. What kind of view do you want to give the world?
Like, of swimming with sharks.
Or fucking playing with lions.
Yeah, the dudes that have
pet lions and tigers and shit.
Please, black people, don't do that.
Nah, it'd be the Indian niggas. It'd be the niggas that tame elephants. See them niggas that tame elephants, bro? They'd be having pet elephants? What are we talking about here? Like, yo, people got some weird... That's how I know there's frequencies, though, Rich, because there has to be. There got to be frequencies.
Yeah, there has to be.
When you think about, you know, how animals can communicate with each other. Look, we just saw a stray kitten and a new puppy. And the kitten was just like, yeah, you're nice. You ain't gonna do shit. You know what I mean?
It hasn't learned what danger.
Exactly. You know, like, and I feel like some animals, in a sense, they can be trained out of danger. Oh, yeah. That's why they say pit bulls lay on their back. Because they're comfortable. They ain't got to worry about nothing.
Yeah, it's like when you kind of ingrain like certain like values and stuff. It's like mothers. It's like, well, you teach your kids. Sometimes it's not really what you say, it's what you do.
And how you handle your situations.
And it's like, if they see that you're mad, kids can, like, sense when something's wrong with their parents. Like, little kids can see when you're, like, angry or when you're sad.
That's why they say, that's why they always say, I can understand when a couple breaks up even though they have children. I could totally get a divorce even though they have children. Like, because if there's no love there, if there's no love amongst the two people that are trying to raise new people into this world, those new people, they learn how to maneuver with tainted love. Like, yeah, my mom really never loved my dad. Or my dad always used to cheat on my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kid grows up, it'd be better off just to split. You fucking split. The kid learns how to develop some tough skin. You know what I'm saying? You live a happy life. The wife lives a happy life. And you guys can, when you are happy people, you can raise happy kids. But if you're bitter with your fucking lover and your other, and you're like, fuck this bitch. Every time you come home, you get drunk. You fuck up in front of the kids. You know what I'm saying? They seen her pull a knife out on you. Now the kids start to think all this shit. Oh, yeah, that's normal. Growing up, I knew a couple, and the way they used to talk to each other was like, motherfucker, and just curse. But, yo, it was their love language. They never took it personal. That's the way they talk to each other. I just found it awkward, feel me? Like, but that's their love language. It worked. They still married. They just had a 20th anniversary not too long ago. You know, so it's like.
No, my parents hit 40 years so far.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Next year they're gonna hit 40 because 1984.
That's crazy. I don't know. 40 years with the same vajayjay.
Let's take your
parents out of this. Let's just take another couple because I don't want to talk about mom and dad. Let's take another couple. Let's say a couple were together 50 years. You don't think at one point in time within those couple's 50 years, one of those two people slipped up? Or
they have.
Or maybe they had one night of some kinky shit and they fucked a friend. You know what I mean? Like they was with Melissa one night and they was like, fuck it, honey, let's take Melissa down. And they both took Melissa down and shit. You know what I'm saying? You don't think that that has to happen in a healthy relationship when somebody's together for 50 years? Do you think it's, damn. I guess if they're really in love, like you see my face, right? I'm looking down. I'm trying to, if you're really in love, I guess I wouldn't even say cheat. You wouldn't have to want to sleep with anybody. I'm just so young-minded still that I'm like, one pussy forever? One pussy forever?
Yeah, I remember marriage.
I don't even like pussy that much, but to have one forever?
Being with one person is a concept. It's like our ancestors were screwing everybody. They were just like having straight out orgies and stuff.
Their own cousins.
They were doing each other.
They were doing each other, bro.
They were doing brothers, sister, incest, all that crazy stuff.
I'm surprised that that's where it like stopped with like brothers and sisters and cousins, because shit, why wouldn't a mother go ahead and fuck a son? While you're at it, fuck your son. While you're at it,
Oedipus Rex.
Like that's you Romans and Greeks and all you motherfuckers is nasty. And I can't even say that. You know why? Because I know a lot of Spanish families that incest runs through the blood. Like it runs through the blood. Maybe some of it's intentional, but some of it wasn't. Like, I know two people that are together, and they're like fourth-generation cousins. They never knew that till one of them brought each other to a barbecue, and another family member was there and said, hey, what you doing here? That's my grandma. Oh, that's my grandma, too. No way.
No way.
I'm serious, though. That, like, it happens. But to know that you dicking down your first-generation cousin,
we're taking it so.
You a nasty nigga, yo. You a nasty nigga.
That's going to be your next viral video?
But no, honestly, though. To think something has to happen that has to be healthy in that relationship, like these, that really has to be like your best friend. That really has to be like your, like you really have, like, I don't know, to be with one person forever just sounds crazy. And then you get the Nick Cannon effect. Got like 9 different baby moms and 12 different baby moms and like
12 kids.
That's the Nick Cannon effect. Great dad. Everybody calls him a great fucking dad.
Actually, recently he said he drops at least $200,000 a year on Disney World for his kids.
That's it?
For all his kids combined.
That's it?
$200,000.
That's it? I would think a lot more.
That's what he said, $200,000.
I would think a lot more.
But in thinking about it, it's like, that's still a bag.
The fact of the matter is, it's possible. It's possible without religion. You don't need to... You know, some religions you're allowed to have two wives. But then you got that creep nigga that just wants two wives. And he uses the religion as a scapegoat. You know there's a creep nigga that definitely does that. Like, it's all right. You can marry me too, even though I got a wife. The religion says it's cool. Nick Cannon said, fuck all that. I'm going to do the nigga shit. I got enough money to support all of y'all for generations. You want to have my baby? Yo, He chose those women. Mm-hmm. Everybody slimes Nick Cannon and makes fun of him. The Nickelodeon dude, Mariah Carey. Everybody slimes him. The Eminem thing. Everybody slimes him. But yo, you guys, I think they secretly, on the low, envy him. They have to envy him. Because most of these niggas got one wife, had to cheat to get another one. Arnold Schwarzenegger F the maid. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see how? You see what you got to do to get away from what you don't want to be around? Damn, I don't want to be with this bitch no more. So I'm going to cheat. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sleep around. Have another kid. Infidelity. Nah, Nick Cannon said, yo, hold these. All 12 of you women, hold these. Because what's in my sack is going to have you rich forever. And it's not all about the money, because he's a good dad. Yep. Yo, he's a good dad. How you have 12 kids with 12 different women and still be able to be a good dad? You know how? Success. You can only do that with money.
And he's very successful.
You can't be a broke nigga. You can't be a broke nigga and have 12 kids with 12 different women. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Like, literally. They must all get a monthly stipend. All the women... get a monthly stipend. They all must get maybe like $200,000-$300,000 a month, maybe. Anything. Maybe they get $1 million a year total. Just to here. just for being my baby moms. Mm. And not only that, I'm a scumbag, but it is what it is. Yo, not only that, come back on, bitch. Not only that, I think that Nick pays to hit it.
Nick pays to hit it?
I think that.
Nah, come on. I don't think he pays to hit it.
Not in the way you're thinking. When I say pays to hit it, you're thinking like he comes through and pays them $1,000 to have sex with them. No. That stipend for the year, that $1 million, that means I can come through and hit it whenever I want to. You my baby moms. I pay you to be my baby moms. I take care of my kids. They know when I come through at 2 a.m, you know what I mean? And I'm out. Like, they already know who daddy is. What's the difference? Like, yo, oh man. Yo, you think he bold enough to ask all 12 of those women, minus Mariah? I'm fucking with Mariah. She a little crazy. You don't ask that bitch to do nothing. She'll stab you. I could tell. She got that look in her eyes. Those high cheekbones, they just say crazy. But yo, the other 11 chicks, you don't think he could have a 12-some with them?
Yeah, he can. He can. I can see it happening for him.
You gonna tell me Nick Cannon couldn't walk up to those chicks, right?
Yeah.
And be like, yo, listen. There's like 40 million on the table over there. We all gonna go on vacation together. Whatever happens on vacation, we gonna keep it that way, right? What? They sitting there like, he a good dad, though.
Yeah, because that's also another thing. You never heard any of his kids, any of his baby moms really like go out, speak out against him. Like, oh, he's a bad father. There was probably like one or two or something, but
I bet the fact is that niggas can't be a dad. Niggas can't be a dad to one kid. It's hard enough to be a famous dad, celebrity dad to one kid. Look at Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus is fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And it's because of her father being so famous. She comes from a famous kid. When you're a famous kid growing up like that, Macaulay Culkin, you know what I mean? Like, when, besides the Michael shit, you know, like when you're famous.
He's just got a Walk of Fame star.
But when you're a famous kid growing up, your brain's a little fucked up. Your brain can be a little fucked up.
You know who he's married to? I just realized that. Brenda Song from Disney. You know, you ever seen Sweet Like a Zack and Cody?
Maybe.
Like the Tipton Hotel.
I'm not a. No, the most I did with Disney, my nigga, was the old movies like All Dogs Go to Heaven. I love All Dogs Go to Heaven.
You don't watch nothing like from the 2000s?
Nope. Like, you figure in 2007, I was supposed to graduate high school. So for the 7 years, if I would have been 18, from like 11, 12, 13, I was finding my identity as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was trying to fit in. You know, I tried weed at 13, lost my virginity at 13, fucking, like, I was trying to find myself. I was living in Brooklyn, and then I got moved over to Queens, and then I got moved over again in Queens, and it was just so hard to, like, get friends. It was bad. And then all my life, I've always been, like, the girls like me. Girls like me, but dudes didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and because I wasn't cool, like, I felt doofy, but chicks loved it. Chick loved the eyes, you know, they like the little nerd shit. I felt doofy, but niggas be like, niggas a doofball. And I would feel it. I would definitely feel it. Yo, I'll never forget, this broke my heart, whatever. Yo, I'll never forget one time, I thought one of the cool kids was like waving at me from up the block when I was walking out of school. He was waving past me, my nigga. So I waved back at him, and he was like, and I looked back, and it was a dude behind me. Yo, it broke my heart, my nigga. The nigga moved me, told me he didn't wave at me.
Like, metaphorically.
Me, and then waved at the other dude. Yeah, me. Yo, middle school wasn't fun for me. Like, it didn't start getting fun till like, I don't even know, bro. I love my friends. Let me just say, I love my friends I grew up with in the neighborhood, because school wasn't always fun.
Nah, I hated middle school. I always got jumped. I was bullied very bad.
That wasn't my problem.
My problem is I got bullied.
My problem is me trying to stick in so hard. I tried too hard to stick in.
High school, like around Junior year, high school. High school. Things got better.
Yeah, high school. I was running away. You motherfuckers was chasing me out of the fucking. I was getting. Well, I didn't get chased, but like I said, you know, I was like the only Spanish kid amongst the whole fucking. I was crazy. I was listening to Drink Champs, and they had DMC on there. Run DMC. Mm-hmm. Two of those niggas in Run DMC went to the same high school I went to, Andrew Jackson. Yeah, it's crazy. 50 Cent went there, or didn't go. Ja Rule went there. Like, mad niggas went to the high school I went to. So it's like, it's something that I'll take pride in going to that high school. But I will say, it was rough for a little light-skinned boy like me over there. Like, it's weird. Racism comes in all shapes and sizes. But you would never think you would get racism from the people that have been oppressed. You know, black people feel like they, bro, I hate saying the word black people. Dark-skinned people feel like they've been oppressed, and they have, their history says it. But it doesn't give them the right to do it to me, or people like me. Like, the Spanish people, Spanish people used to get tortured in Andrew Jackson, especially if you didn't speak English. If you didn't speak English, they beef with you. If you spoke English, you had a little bit of a stand-your-ground law and shit like that. You know, you defend yourself. But, yeah, like, I'm glad it was rough. But it taught me the other side of things. You know what I mean? And then at the end of the day, when I like speak to some of my friends, they're like, nigga, we were just fucking with you. That's how some people fuck around. Some people play rough. Some people just genuinely say words to cut your throat and play rough with you. And say, like, I used to get hate being called Little Spanish Boy. I used to hate when chicks used to call me Little Spanish Boy. It would make me feel like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Like, I'm just a nigga. I'm just a human. I'm a person. Little Spanish boy. I started realizing I was Puerto Rican when I went to that school. As crazy as it sounds. You know what I mean? When I went to that school, I started realizing I was Puerto Rican. I was like, oh, I'm not a nigga. I'm not like, and I mean that in a sense where it's like the culture that I was trying to adapt. You know, I had a Chinese stepfather. I was raised not to listen to hip hop. Stay away from that shit. I was raised, that's all bad for you. So what I do, I wanted to be like that. I wanted to have the baggy clothes, the long t-shirts. I wanted to have all that. They let you know quick, my nigga. It's not about the clothes that is our culture. It's who we are that makes us our culture. And they learned me quick, my nigga. My whole persona and everything changed. That's why when I got kicked out of that school and I came to Flushing, I was able to be myself. Able to be myself when I came to Flushing because I got it all out of my system of trying to be something I wasn't. They learned me. High school, my first high school, they learned me. I almost got jumped a couple times. They learned me. Knife to my neck one time. They learned me. Chased by a pit bull. They learned me. You want to be about this culture, nigga, you're going to have to take the highs with the lows.
Yeah, I had a knife to my neck one time.
I've had a gun to the side of my head, knife to my neck. The gun was 22-year-old dildo. But yeah, you learn quick what you're about. I'm not a my nigga, for Thanksgiving, we had stone crab. I bought 2 live crabs. Yo, I had to talk to myself, call myself a bitch, talk to myself, and then on top of that, look at the little 12-year-old girl that's next to me, and she's like, "You gonna kill it?" And I'm like, "Damn, I look like it." And I'm trying to crack the crab, right? I'm trying to crack the crab. And I got his claws, and every time I go like that, I hear, I was like, oh God, I can't do this. I can't kill this nigga. I feel so bad. Like, I feel so bad ripping off his claw. And finally, she's like, oh, you can't do it. And I was like, ah! And I ripped it off, and I'm like, ah! I threw it in the sink. It's still trying to grab you. But now you feel like a thug. Now I'm over here thugging it. Now I'm
murderer.
Like, I get the other one. Ah, ripped both of the claws. His homies in the corner of the sink trying to get me. Like, you got my brother. You got my brother. He's trying to chop me up. And then what you got to do with a crab, because they're so big, you have to clean their guts. Because if you cook them with the guts inside, it might taint the meat. So you have to open them. Oh, I think that was the hardest part. I took a knife and you put the knife in his. And we are back, ladies and germs.
Bitches and gentlemen,
fleas and sphinx. So, what you think about Hoey getting hoed by NBA? Ho Budden.
Oh, you don't like he goes by Ho Budden now?
He always go like, yo. I don't know about anybody else, but I preferred Joey the rapper. Hmm. I like when Joey was coming up rapping, I used to love those fucking freestyles and even just the mood music. It was just like the right time. The exposing himself with the things he was going through with the shorties, the Ordinary Love shit, Who Killed Hip Hop. He has a couple staple songs, just like underground songs that were rocking, you know, at least for the time. That's why. But him as a podcaster, there ain't no controversy sells. Negative, positive, controversy sells. So you look at his career as a podcaster, it's been like up and down from like, I'll name this podcast later.
Yeah, that's the original.
To having two of his...
The Joe Budden podcast with Rory and Mal.
Where, you know, Mal lived with him at one point in time. You know, Rory started his Lollapalooza shit and with the, like, Rory's a music... Like, you had...
Do say Palooza.
Whatever. And then you have... Whatever the fuck it is. But then you... Now, it's great that he can still maintain growth. Now he got five people on a squad.
I think that's too much.
I think it's great. I think they got a good business plan. Because think about it. Some of the episodes, they're doing more Patreons. And from what I understand on the Patreons, they're just more personal with their lives. And what if you notice in what they're doing with the episodes, they're trying to keep it news. You know what I mean? Like hip-hop news. So five people with five different opinions. And then, yeah, sometimes you run into, you cape by accident. Like, say you say something and I didn't agree with it, but if I didn't stop you in that moment while you were saying it, it would look like I'm agreeing with it. So if we're on a platform and there's five of us, not everybody can get a chance sometime to be like, nah, that's not what I think. So sometimes I might think, yeah, you're right, or like, look what just happened with Cam, Mason, Ford. You know, Ford made allegations that were like way out of line. You know what I mean? And then these niggas politely fired back. They didn't disrespect. They politely fired back. So it's like, where's the... At some point in time, you got to bite the bullet when you're wrong. You know what I mean? You got to be like, nah, I didn't mean it that way, or it was taken the wrong way. But then there's sometimes where you get like, in my opinion, sometimes Joe pushes the envelope. And I wonder, like, do you think that Joe genuinely doesn't feel like NBA Youngboy sucks? Or do you think that he was told, like, nigga, like, you know what I mean? Chill out before something bad happens to you.
It could be both. It could be a little of both.
Yeah?
Yeah, because...
Which one you decide, though?
Because, yeah, man, NBA Youngboy is in Idaho or Utah, one of those states.
With a fucking thing on his ankle, too, yeah, right?
So it's not like he can go anywhere.
Yeah, but it don't have to be him, though. You know, we see... We just saw Hoey get into a fucking fight in a spot. And he shot the one on in the spot. Due to the stuff that he's been saying about Cesar Peña and all that. So you see, it don't have to be the person that you're talking about. It could be his brother. It could be a homie. Once you could get got by anybody, you know? Like, the fact of the matter is like, I really wonder if he backs off after he gets chin-checked.
Did he do it with Cameron?
He didn't really get chin-checked by Cam, though. That wasn't... I don't... From the response I saw, when I saw Mace and Cam respond to their podcast, in my opinion, that wasn't a chin check. That was just like, relax. You know you got that wrong. But that's when I say shit like what I just said. Sometimes when you're in the room with so many people and you don't express how you feel about something, it may seem like you're agreeing with what they're saying. Even though on that pod, these niggas was like, yo, why are you saying underage children? Like, where does that come from? Where do you get this from?
And I just feel it has to do with the culture, the climate of, like, how Harlem motherfuckers are when it comes to, like, those type of allegations. Because as most of my family's from Harlem, the way Caramount is, I got, like, 20, 30 cousins that are like Caron that would have probably either done said worse or done worse than what he was doing.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, to be accused of something you didn't do, and especially...
They grew up with him, and Mace, and like Big L, and all them dudes back in the 80s and 90s.
I know.
So, the way that it was like presented, because it was started like, Melissa Force said that there was like a lot of underage, like, things going on back in like the early 90s.
Well, that's not how she presented it, though. She, in my opinion, because she said some stupid shit, like, not stupid, but she said, I watch these shows and sex trafficking is real. If she would have said, see, because while you were saying, I was thinking, I was like, if she would have said, like, yo, back in the days, I know those, I've been to a couple of those places, and there was a couple of places where I witnessed underage girls, and if it would have been different if you would have put yourself there. But she spoke from a place that she never, like, witnessed that. You know what I'm saying? She's from Canada. The Harlem lifestyle. You know, and that's another thing, too. Lifestyle, you went to a party yesterday. And we was having this conversation in the car. But that lifestyles, yes, there's a big difference between kidnapping somebody and forcing them to fucking do shit. But there are lifestyles where there's fucking... sex parties and like dominatrix parties, cosplay parties. There's places where people, yeah, you can go to a freaking brothel. It's not that, like,
I mean,
far-fetched to,
like, even
to,
for yesterday, it was like, it wasn't like it
set
was,
the set the stage.
I don't want to set too much of a stage because it was kind of private and
okay.
But it was like, everything was just open. That's why I kind of also found weird about it.
Yeah, like, but this was your first time to something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was like, it was nothing private. It was like, there was no like, hey, you go to that room, this room, like a brothel setup. It was like, everybody was just out in the open,
mm-hmm.
doing whatever they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like me look at it, it's like, damn, they don't even got like, if people wanted to like really like break it down and like really get in there, what? Shouldn't there be at least like room? Somewhere.
I mean, if you asked, you probably would have got one, maybe.
No, there was no room.
Well, I'm just saying, not there in general. Like, most spots, they probably be, maybe will have a space like that.
In hindsight, like prior conversations where there should have been, like, walls. Like, you know, like those makeshift walls, they have, like, ERs.
Oh,
something.
Yeah.
There should have been at
even
least
just
that.
Screens and shit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that you could
screens.
Just hear the humping.
Yeah. Here it's like, ah, and you're like, the fuck going on in that room over
it'd
there?
It'd be sick, though. You know, it'd be sick. You go to a sex club with your girl. Let's just say you go to a sex club with your girl, and you two already got it in. Like, yo, we're both going to enjoy ourselves. Know what I mean? No whole bar, whatever. We both going home with each other anyway, right? You both agree. And then she goes in. She finds a dude she wants to sleep with. You find a shorty you want to sleep with. You feeling crazy about it. You like, oh, damn, I'm about to tear this shit up. Some new pee, some titties out here. Why? Like, you, and then, you know, the bitch in there bad. You like, oh, my God. So you go, you laying it down, right? And then your girl is getting piped in the room next to you. And she's making sounds you never heard before. Like, how would you feel about that, nigga? Like, she's making, you hear, but she's like making these crazy sounds.
Like, you're used to the...
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah. You hitting this shorty like you making love to some brand new pussy. She's over here getting her back blown out by Mustafa and shit.
The Dasi or some
the
shit.
The big African dude on
Manta Musa.
Yo, he's that huge African dude that walks around the spot. She picked him. What you doing? You going over there and asking if she alright, or you just continuing your progress?
I mean, we're both doing our own things.
What's the conversation like?
When it's like you cop blocking your own girl. It's like, damn, why to cock block me? Plot swap me if I'm going in on some bitch?
Yo,
it's like you got. It's like,
and then you try to show them off, so you start hitting this one harder, and it's not working.
I pull the dildo out.
You breaking his bitch. You got toys. Give me the toys. I'm going to stuff everything in every hole I can find. You're going to make a fucking noise.
No, there was like whips and stuff like that, but there was no like dildo.
I wonder what that conversation is though, going home with your chick now. You know, you in the car, you look at her, she's
like, no, not even like just like all relaxed.
Smoking a cigarette. Yo,
rolling up. She's rolling up. He's like, you've never seen her roll up before. How she know how to roll up? She's like, you're like, where the fuck you learned to roll up?
Yo. Yeah, she's sitting in the car smoking a bong, he rolling a joint. Oh, you alright, babe? She's like, yeah. Like, hey, what's your son? She's like, oh, he taught me after I left. Taught you what? Not roll? How you feeling though? She's like, alright. Then you ask, you like, yo, we're gonna, I wanna sleep with you when we get home. And she's like, I think I'm just gonna relax. Maybe tomorrow.
How long night?
Yo, you start piping her again, and she ain't making those noises you heard her make before.
Now, because this shit's so open, she ain't seeing making them no noises.
Yo, and then she hits you in 4 weeks with the line, Rich. Hey, when we going back there?
When we going back? when we going back?
What you saying? What you saying to that?
You paying?
Yo. I want a different chick this time. Yo, I want two chicks this time. That's the only way to get her back, yo. If your shorty's getting her back blown out by fucking Mustafa and shit, you gotta get two chicks, nigga. If you don't get two chicks, it's not gonna work.
Be by the Lion King.
Oh my god, yo. That's what I say. You really gotta ask yourself.
She's singing the intro to Lion King in the fucking room next to you. Ah! It's a banger!
I mean, me, you wake up in the morning and you hear her singing that shit in the shower? Yo, what you gonna do with that, though? Oh, man. All right, what else? What else we got on the docket? What else we got on the docket?
What else has been going on?
Yeah, but I think Ho Button's getting pressed by a lot of niggas. I think his opinion's getting them pressed. And I think that, in my opinion, and I think that's why he pulls his foot off the gas. But then he steps on in and he puts it... Because at the same time as he, like, don't disrespect people, he'll disrespect people in the same line.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's like...
It's a good technique. It's cool. It's cool, but just deal with the fire. But,
and then it's like, if you disrespect him, it's like he got what he wanted out of you. He wanted you to disrespect him. He's like, hi.
Oh, they definitely... But like I said, they definitely doing their numbers over there. You know what I mean? Like, you can't even deny it.
But they're very niche. They're just straight hip-hop. They're not Joe Rogan level or... They'll never be Joe Rogan level. Yes. But it's like with Gillian Wallow. They're trying to more diverse. They're not only just doing interviews. They're trying to dabble into like doing festivals and like kind of like some sports stuff. I know with Cameron and Mace, it's strictly just like sports stuff. I think they just signed on like a $30 million deal too.
I think they just signed somebody, right? Yeah. Or they just
signed
on.
They got a $38 million deal.
That's crazy. That's beautiful though, yo. Like, you know, it's crazy that like, there's so much more music that was like made before we got to commercialize, you know, Mace and Betha and fucking Horse and Carrots. And, you know, like before we got that, there's so much more music they made together in the streets, freestyling.
Yeah. It's old interviews of them walking like around the Apollo Theater.
Like there's a
before
lot of people
Mace
like
dropped
that.
His album.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. But then it seems like after they drop, they disappear.
Yep.
You get that one album from them, not Cam, but Mace. How many albums Mace got?
He had Harlem,
Harlem World.
Double Up.
Then that's
Welcome
it?
Back.
Welcome Back was trash, though.
That's when he, after his spiritual...
Yeah.
He went clean after that.
That's trash.
Well, that was like 2004. That's why he had to drop since then. And then there was like a couple of years back, there was some back and forth between him and Cameron, and then they kind of made friends again, and they squashed it. And now they're making money together.
I fuck with Mace though. Mace is one of my favorite
Diddy.
Rappers.
He talked about Diddy, but the two he
we can't talk about Voldemort. Can't talk about Voldemort. You say his name, the computer is shaking shit.
You can't talk about that guy.
Poor Diddy, yo.
Because he's still going through it, like a newer album.
Yo, I've been watching. I've been deep diving into all the Tupac and documentaries.
There's guards, like the old security guards, like now coming out the woodwork. Like,
no, it wasn't.
Like Gene Deal.
What are they saying?
I forgot his name. Something Rogers and.
What are they saying?
Who else? He had old Bad Boy signees like Mark Curry. I was like, I didn't even know who
Mark Curry is. They saying that he played with buttholes?
They saying like he kind of had some inclination. He did some butt stuff from guys.
Yeah, he did butt stuff?
They're implying that he did. And then, you know, the freak-offs were really freaking off. And they would like trick girls with drug, like bottles. Like, they'll make sure they drink that bottle. If you're going to drink from that bottle. The girls, they get that bottle. Those are the spike ones right there.
Yeah. You got some Molly in the drink. You know what I mean? You think Rick Ross just learned that? Pour some Molly in a drink.
Yep, you ain't know.
You know what I mean? That's the Bill Cosby move. You know what I mean? Bill Cosby a motherfucker.
The Spanish fly.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
What?
At the end of the day. I think this, you know, the worst part about it is that our heroes just become fucking. Their truths come out. You gotta get your bread and like disappear.
Like, you could just appreciate the art and what they contributed. You know, for
they're just human though.
Man, they're just regular ass.
They're just human. They're just regular people.
I told you, I got my spirits broken when I met a few heroes of mine, and I love
them. Well, I never put my hero on a pedestal though.
And, I mean, they weren't even really. I mean, even like. They're not really heroes. It's just like the dudes that I like their music enough to want to go see them.
Nigga, they give you a feeling inside when you hear this shit. You feel something.
But as people, some of them are just major league assholes.
No, well, look, you catch me on a good day, I'm the same way. No? Like, I'm an asshole. I'm more of a dick, but I'm an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like, it all depends. These people can't. Well, that's not the truth, because I feel like
the persona you hear like on records and like from like TVs or interviews and whatever you're doing, it's a different when you meet them in person.
That be fucking me up too, though. When they really are like that, though, when they do really got the chopper, you know, when they really are crazy like they are in the lyrics, that be fucking me up. I'm like damn, that nigga, because you like the lyrics and you like the. Then you meet and you're like, damn, this is what it takes to be that person? Yeah. I'm not chilling.
It'd be a dude like, oh, I got a AK-47 on my chest all the time. And then like you meet him and it's like, oh.
Or your man that drives around all the time with a gun.
Yep.
For no reason. Like, God bless the dead. My man Book used to do that all the time. All the time. Always have a fucking pill. I don't get it. And I could get it. When niggas say, yo, you rather have it than not have it. You fucking right. But I don't know, bro. I don't even like. My crazy radar is up like bananas. I don't go near shit, B. I be really in my own bubble. I don't like going near drama, messing with shit. I don't. The worst, like, even cursing somebody out, I pause. I be sitting there like, you're gonna say that. I'm gonna say this. Let me just walk away.
No, but nobody walks away sometimes.
I do a lot.
Some people don't walk away.
Let me ask your opinion or something. Fuck it. We here now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if niggas watch this shit. So, I'm supposed to be somewhere on Friday. It's supposed to be a group thing. It's not mandatory, but, you know, it's something that you show up to. I don't want to show up. I don't want to show up being the fact that I don't feel like it sounds like a sucker shit. I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel like. All
right, what was the place you were going to Friday? Like, you don't have to say where it was, but.
Let's say a dinner. All right.
Damn. That we hitting.
You all right?
Yeah, he called me.
Yo, the weed's hitting him now like a Kamehameha. Just late. All right, so I'm supposed to go to a dinner. I don't want to go to a dinner. I don't feel appreciated.
Okay.
I feel undercut, and I feel like if I go to this dinner, I'm gonna get drunk, and I'm gonna come after everybody's neck. And I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? You all right? Stand up. He's dying. Stand up. No, you got to stand up.
I can't. I'm dying.
Stand. I'm not giving you mouth to mouth. I don't give a fuck. You don't have to do that. I'll call one of your dogs down here. I'll call one of your dogs down here and I'll have him give. Nah, you'll get right the fuck up. Nah, that shit. I'll have a dog drool in your mouth. You'll be alright. You know why you're coughing like that, right? Eating too much ass. Eating too much ass. That's why you coughing.
I don't eat ass, nigga. Shut up.
You do, though. You look at your face.
You got the
ass. Look at your face.
You got the ass face.
You see the curve in your nose?
You eat ass.
The curve in your nose got the ass eating curve. You insert right there.
And you know who would know that? Nigga that eats ass.
Not true.
Nigga, one of the most recent viral videos on my page is you talking about eating ass.
No, I said niggas that eat ass after Thanksgiving, and that's a big difference, my nigga. You got to pick a time and place. But I know it'd be some sucker shit. Because if she got a nice bubble, sometimes you can't help it. You like, she like, sometimes you like, damn. Like, yo.
No.
Yo, son.
All right,
I hope you chicks stay fucking. Yeah, all right. So what do you suggest I should do?
You went to a dinner where you felt underappreciated.
Yeah. Like, I've been working all year, and this dinner...
Did they treat you? Like, they say, hey, like, how you doing? What you been up to?
There's just no communication.
You're just there. You're just, like, an object in the room.
I'm just a worked object. Yeah. So I feel. I wish I could get more detailed, but we gotta be minimalistic, because... You think I should go or not, is really the question. Fuck the details. If you don't want to go somewhere because you want to avoid an issue, that's what, how I should have worded this whole shit. If you don't want to go somewhere because you want to avoid an issue, because you might be the issue. You know yourself enough, but there's something called integrity. There's something called time and place. But then at the same time, if somebody asks you a question, you should answer it, right? Truthfully?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that I'm going to get asked these questions and I'm going to have to answer them truthfully. So it's like, should I really go there? Because there's a whole week right now. There's weeks since all these situations occurred where all I needed was a phone call to get some elaboration of what's going forward. But instead, I hear XYZ through the grapevine and I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to talk about these things. Since you don't want to call me and talk about these things, because obviously I don't need to know, I don't want to talk about them neither at a dinner. You dig? If I'm going to go to a dinner, let me eat my fucking dinner, drink my fucking whiskey, Hennessy and shit, go the fuck home. I don't want to be there so you can have a conversation about what you, because I know me. I know me. It's still, there's nothing you can say that can make it make sense, really.
So conversations could have happened prior to Friday.
And I have a feeling that they'll try to happen Friday. Because niggas are drinking and now it's they feel vulnerable to speak their mind.
They got the little liquid courage.
And that's not to say anybody wouldn't. I could probably call and have a conversation. Be like, yo, what's up? What's up? But I know myself there too. I'm not the boss for a reason. Feel like the boss should do boss things. And boss things is making sure all your employees are correct, straight, taken care of, don't feel a certain way. You know what I mean? Everybody got their own little niche that they're all gonna feel like they want more and XYZ. Everybody feels like that, right?
Yeah.
But
I feel like that sometimes.
But if we talk, I don't know, when you call a spade, there's a difference between having a union job and not. And when you lie on the side of not and you work for people, you got to ask for every dollar you can get from them. Because there's no sunshines at the end of my rainbow, is what I'm trying to say. There's no sunshines at the end of my rainbow. So it's like, I got to get it here and now. So part of me feels like, shut the fuck up, suck it up. Because your goal is to get it here and now anyway. And then the other side of me feels like that integrity thing. Like, yo, not going to be taken advantage of to make the next person millions of dollars. That's just life, right? Like, yeah. You're not going to do...
Yeah.
You're not going to make the next person millions of dollars, and you made 10% of that your entire life. Like, yo, bosses, let me tell you something. Bosses love niggas that'll work 40 years for them off the books. Yeah. Bosses love niggas like y'all. 40 years off the books? They love niggas like y'all. They never had to give you real... You got a raise here and there, valuation, but you ain't got... What else you got?
But there'll be that one nigga like, I want to be union.
What?
There'll be that one nigga that's like, I want to be union.
What? Oh, we don't spell that word over here. Union. Niggas won't unionize you. You got to hurt yourself. You got to hurt yourself at work and then sue them. I'm just saying. You work for a nigga for 40 years, and then the 1 week you hurt yourself, and you're out for 1 week, 2 weeks, yo, your job could be taken away from you. There's no job security when you work off the books.
Nope.
And 2.2 sec, unemployment's going to laugh at you.
Oh, there's been some people, like, my department in particular, we're non-union, but there's people there that sometimes get away with the most crazy shit when it comes to, like...
Oh, who you telling?
Don't get fired.
Nigga, who you telling, nigga? The beast. The beast that I see, nigga. There's people I work with that can tell other people, suck my dick and still have a job.
I suck my dick to a boss, a manager.
Yes. Suck my dick to a boss and still have a job. But that goes to show you that boss, you get what you pay for as workers. He don't have to put a nigga in the union. He don't have to... Niggas there at work every day. So what? Every now and then he tells a nigga, suck my dick. So every now and then the people on the team can't do the job because they got a doctor's appointment or take care of their mom or go kill a chicken. Or it's always something where when somebody calls out, the work falls on other people. Cool. Granted. So you know what should happen? Those other people should be taken care of. Because if it was workload for this many people, right? But then that many people took care of it. Shouldn't that many people get to split this many people money? This is a cat. This is not union. This is what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand. If I work for your hours, right? I get paid for them, no? So what are we talking about here? If I work in place of somebody else supposed to be in there, shouldn't you get paid for it?
And when union, you're more liable. That's why people don't want unions.
See, and this is why...
The union's your middleman.
I'm not, no cap, just because if it's ever... These are just my opinions, and I'm potting. But it's more the message. Like, don't get stuck in the roller coaster of just getting paid cash from a nigga that owns something. Because what you're doing is, it's just like living in the same apartment for fucking 40 years. And you know you just paid your landlord's mortgage when you could have bought a house. You could have did that yourself. And it's the same thing. Don't fall into the trap of working for somebody because they're paying you cash, not seeing the underlining of what they're really getting overall. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate the position. But at the same time, I don't like being overlooked. And that's why I go out and I make this, that. I don't like being overlooked. I don't like people looking past me because of my social media, because I smoke weed, because I drink, because I chill, because I talk about eating ass, because I joke, because I have fun. I don't like being profiled. And that's what I kind of be feeling. Kind of be feeling like, not only from there, but in general. I feel like I've been getting profiled lately because you see this. Like, yo, when I send an email, my Koji's there. My Koji got everything on it. Well, I gotta take that off now because of this boy. What are you talking about? Like, yo, people should be allowed to live their lives and not have to live behind a veil or a cover because how it looks to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a fuck. You were brought up one way, right? You were brought up to put your pants at your waist. You were brought up to be nice, clean. I was brought up to have a beard. I was brought up to have tattoos. I was brought up to have contacts instead of wearing glasses. We all brought up different ways. How you going to judge a man because he's not like you and you're in a power position because you cut his checks? So if he's not like you, he's not good enough for you. Like, that's what I be seeing, lady. Like, people got this fucking... That's why I try my hardest, yo, to just silently stick out. Let the work talk for itself. Feel me? Before I start bitching, complaining, asking for this, asking for that, let my work talk for itself. You know why? Because, the Goodfellas line says, when there's no more money in there, and you can't pay the guy off, and you can't do this, no, you burn the whole fucking place down. So, you know, it'd be different. They'll see the impact when the person is no longer there to make the impact. I work hard for a reason. I work hard at home in the studio, pressing shirts, I'm learning all this shit because, like, right now I'm doing my Etsy. That takes some time to do an Etsy. Takes some time. You gotta take the pictures. You gotta make sure everything's good. You gotta sell your product. You gotta package your product. You gotta have a lot of boxes checked. But I'm taking the time to make an Etsy because I got a lot of shit that I can sell. And I've been slacking on where to sell it. So I'm just going to make an Etsy store. Boom. Right? Yo.
Yep.
If I keep making shit and it hits, that's how you get it. That's how you get it. I refuse to be fucking held back because of judgments, because of my skin color, or because I fucking smoke weed or fucking drink and chill and listen to hip hop.
Fitting a stereotype.
What?
Fitting a stereotype.
I hate that shit. I hate that shit that people even have one. I hate that shit that the audacity. You know what I mean? The audacity. It's one thing, you know, early in the conversation, I brought up my high school days. You know, that wasn't a stereotype. I just witnessed what oppression looked like from the other side of the lens. When you judging somebody and automatically giving them limitations based upon that judgment, that's a stereotype. that's a biased racist stereotype as well. Like, you know, and I just can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand when I look at somebody in their eyes and I know that they want to call me a nigga. Like, I've lost a job. Yo, bro, I had this guy. His name was Rodney Chamberlain. Fucking juice head.
That's not like a famous
Rodney person. Chamberlain, white guy, about 5'6", 5'7", like 190 though. Solid. Worked, real intense guy. Worked with him on the truck for like a week. The boss I was working for went to go work for the MTA. So he was seeing if he could work the MTA and then have some guy, he was to have Rodney run the route. One day, we're in a Rite Aid, and I'm in my phone like this, and Rodney's getting checked in. And when he gets checked in, I'm not helping him. Like, he's opening the cases and everything. I was in my phone, genuinely. And he comes, and he's like, the fuck, nigga? Get off the fucking phone. Open the fucking cases. Whoa, 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 whoa. That was a hard ER, buddy. That was a hard ER. Yo, we got into a fucking cursing match right there in the store, and I walked out, quit my job. I call my boss, tell him what occurred. My boss goes, I got to let you go, man. I'm sorry.
You got fired.
I got fired for being called a nigger. What kind of shit is that? And that's my point, that these people, unfortunately, and that's, again, that's not a stereotype. It's the truth. They cause, white people cause racist tensions and biases just like black people do. Like, they cause these things with these stupid stereotypes. Once you stereotype somebody, I feel like you're already halfway lost the battle in judgment. Like,
you know where he's at today?
I don't want to know. I hope he don't seize this because he was kind of a big nigga. And I don't want no beef with your big ass fucking juice head. He got fired a week after for cursing out another manager. Like, obviously, he was the problem. But it's cool. You know what I mean? Like, because then after that, Vinny had to come back. After that, that driver had to come back and run his route. Because Pepsi wouldn't allow him to be away from his route. And nope. So everybody got their karma, I guess, in the end, whatever it may be. But just the fact, I've witnessed it too. And I'm fucking light-skinned. I'm light-skinned, bro. You put me in a room full of fucking anybody, I damn near blend in. give me the right haircut. Once you shave all my face off, I look like a pedophile. You know what I mean? When I got no facial hair, you put me in any group, I'm sitting there, you don't even know I'm there. You don't even know I'm there. You cut my hair off, it's just been so long since I had short hair, you don't even know no more. People see the long hair, they see the beard, the baggy clothes. What you want? You want me to come in, you want me to come in styling every day? You want me to walk around styling every day to impress you, schmuck? To impress you? To impress who? To impress who? For what? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, I think this is the only thing you should judge people on. And this. These two things. Not how they look. Like, how they think. How they feel. How they care. How they love. How they trust. Like, how you can trust them. Motherfuckers judging motherfuckers because of skin color? Y'all niggas is just stupid. And giving limitations to your friends or your employees or because of their fucking... Y'all ain't stupid. Because I'm not like... Because your employees not like y'all, they'll never be nice. That's, come on. Like I said, I find... As I get older, I start to see more and more of the things I didn't see when I was younger. And it sucks, you know? For kids that grew up in racist settings, that must have sucked. Because I didn't really grow up in a racist setting. I had a Chinese stepfather. You can't get more weirder than that. The fuck we going to be racist about when he's calling his own people in the car chink? He's in the car cursing every chink out. You fucking chink! You can't. I'm sitting there 6 years old confused. How you could say that to your own people? That's how I learned racism. It canceled itself out. I didn't get called a nigga till I was 28, 29 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it bothered the shit out of me. So now, when I'm politely still being called a nigga, you want me to go to that dinner? Like, that's what my brain is. Like, you want me to go to that dinner? And that's Gil talking to Gil. Like, Gil, you really gonna do that to yourself, bro? Because you know you. You know you. And to be honest, yeah, I just ain't feeling it. It's like...
Same. You want to go where you're wanted.
I want to go where I'm wanted. I want to go where I'm wanted. I want to go where I'm at. I'm acknowledged.
Where there's like love.
Where there's love. I don't like... Why would I want to go into a building with people hating or using you? Using you blatantly. This is your own
family at that, right?
What?
This is your own family at that, right?
It's not...
Or a mixed bag of like friends and family.
Okay, I don't like... We'll say that for the Patreon. Nah, I don't like... You know, I don't like getting too personal to say it because... these people are great people. And this is just me being... curious. I'm talking to you, but I'd be talking to myself as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just curious on what would be the smarter move to do, and am I thinking with my head and my heart at the same time? So in order to get to those negotiations with oneself, one has to have conversations. Fortunately, you right there, somebody to talk to. I've been having this conversation with myself for over a week and a half now, though. I'm like, do I really want to do this? Because if I don't feel up to doing it, then why would I force myself to do it? You know, like, and but as a man, you don't always get to choose what you have to do as a man. As a man, you got to stand up and get things done sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Especially when it comes to standing up for yourself. Comes to standing up for yourself, you got to take whatever threshold that boundary may push at you. It ain't all gonna be sunshines and fucking rainbows, nigga. That shit's gonna be a hard threshold to get through sometimes. Sometimes it's Mount Everest. Sometimes it's the Great Wall of China. Sometimes it's an immovable object. Sometimes it's Zeus. I think it's just The Rock, Dwayne Rock Johnson, standing like this, like, I'm not moving. But you still gotta go face it. You got David and Goliath. You still gotta throw that stone in the little fucking pouch thingy. And see, you can hit that nigga in the eyeball. You still got to get it off. You know, that's where the Gil brain comes in. Like, nigga, you still got to go Friday. Fuck you look like not going Friday. Fuck. Is it worse to live with a demon? Or is it worse to face the demon? Ask yourself. I ask you. Is it better to live with it or face it? Answer. React.
You have to face a demon.
Got to face a demon, right?
You have to face it.
You got
to
face a demon, right? You face your demons? You face your demons?
I don't have that many demons.
But do you face any of them? Or they just be chilling?
I wouldn't call like regret. I have like regrets, but they're not like things that like prolong and make me feel pain. I don't suffer from like the issues I have.
Oh, I do.
That's the difference. I think about it, like, damn, maybe
I don't suffer. Back. Like, I ain't saying here, I ain't got fucking lashes on my fucking back, but be hurting my brain. I'd be stressed. Like, legitimately, like, this month sucks. Yo, happy birthday, uncle. Fucking rest in peace. My uncle died, I believe, 2019. I believe, because it was my sister and then him. My sister was 2018. Shannon was 2017. So he must have been like 2019. Fucking. This month sucks. My sister's birthday is this month. My uncle's birthday is this month. Shannon passed away this month. My grandfather, who passed away last year's birthday, was 3 days ago, the 7th. Yeah, that's four. Yo, like, this month super rough. Like, it's so hard to be, like, happy because, you know, you think about these people's birthdays and it's not really a birthday. They dead. They ain't here to celebrate. You know, you ain't here to celebrate with them being a year older on this earth.
Do you celebrate death days?
I pour out a little liquor. Yeah. I pour out a little liquor. Shannon's death day is the 20. Well, all the cameras dead. Shannon's death day is the 20 something. Yeah, pour a little liquor. My sister's death day is the 17th of March. I pour a little liquor. You know what I mean? Any death day I remember, or I see him. Yeah, I pour a little liquor. I don't celebrate.
Because I feel like that needs to be more like something too than just people's birth. Also, when people die, like, we never really remember when we're born. We don't remember when we're born, but no. We remember when people die.
Yeah. So it should be remembered, right?
Yeah, because it's like from point A to point B, from the moment of birth to the second you're born to the second you die, I feel like the death is more important because that's the time that you were with them the most.
You got a valid
after point. They die, before they died.
You got a valid point.
Not before they were born.
Yeah, maybe you should start making that a thing.
Like, celebrate, like...
It's just going to be weird.
It's going to look and feel way better.
It's going to be weird for people.
It's like when they do, like when Mexicans do, like, the Muerte thing, like, where all this... The Day of the Dead thing?
Yeah.
That's to celebrate all the lives of all the dead relatives.
I get it. But it's a little freaky with the skeletons and all that and the shit running in the street. Yep. It's a little freaky. And that's the problem, that when people think about celebrating the dead, they got... stereotypes again that you think it's all about that. No, but you could celebrate their life in death. That's what you're saying. Yeah. Like
damn, like to have a day where you just like all chill and just reminisce like today, about all the good times you had with them, even the bad times you had with them. Just something to keep their memory still around.
I woke up sad today. I woke up and I cried today. I heard what song is it? I don't want to play it because I don't want to get fucking kicked off. But I'll tell you, Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton.
Oh yeah, that. That's a tearjerker, man.
Yo, bro, I was laying in bed.
That's based on a true story.
And I know it's his. Yeah, I know. His son, and I was laying there, and I don't know why it just came to me. Just and I played the song.
He sounds like when he's singing it, it just sounds like he's crying.
I could cry right now thinking about the lyrics. I won't lie, I can cry right now thinking about the lyrics. Like, I just miss my uncle a lot. I miss everybody, but you know, today being his birthday, his death date is not too far from here. I think he died tomorrow. Yeah, I think he died, and if I'm not mistaken, I love you, uncle. He died like Elvis, my nigga, on the toilet bowl. Overdose. Yeah, on the bowl. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not a
You know, like
pretty psyched to death. It's not the best place.
Well, it wasn't good for my aunt to find him or nothing like that. I give her that. But
I mean, but if I'm gonna die, I don't even want to die like that.
I'm gonna tell you something. If you knew this man and his sense of humor, him going out like Elvis was probably very comedic for him. You know what I mean? Like, if you knew his sense of humor, sitting on the bowl like that, you know, like, at least he was home, at least he wasn't in the streets, and at least he wasn't in jail. He did 23 years in jail, bro. He's 56 years old or something like that. He did 23 years in jail, bro.
So his 30s and 40s. Most of his life is jail.
Most of his life is jail. So for the 1 year that he was out of jail, I had him. I lived with him in Jersey. My aunt allowed me and my cousin allowed me to live with them. And while I lived with them, me and him just got super, 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 super close.
Yeah.
You know, and
I was like one of my cousins kind of too.
And then I get 1 year with him and I leave because Shannon passed away. My sister caught cancer. I leave New Jersey. I come live back over here. And during that time, things just got crazy over there. And he went to a halfway house, came back home, and then did that to his fucking self. You know, but I say it all the time. He taught me I'm too nice. You know, he taught me be a bully. He said, you want things, go get them, demand them, take them. Don't forcefully take them. Take them the way you can get them. You know, like he told me, I have the ability to get anything I want. Take it the way I know how to get it. Don't do it the wrong way, the way he did it. You know what I mean? Do it the right way. Like, yo, I've met Sheik Luch, Styles P, DMX. I seen them perform at the Brooklyn Bridge. I was back VIP because he drove the coach buses that they did all the makeup and everything in. So we would go to all the sites, and he would park up, and he would bring me with him as his plus one, his worker. You know what I mean? And I met all these people before. Like, yo, he gave me such a great time in Jersey at a time when I needed it. Traveling back and forth for work. Just lost my apartment. Just lost my chick. Fucking, I went from having a two-bedroom apartment to back to living in a room all the way in Jersey. You know what I mean? Just everything fell apart in my life. And again, a savior came to me. And in the form of a man that did 23 years in prison, did drugs, fucking... Mm-hmm. Hit those people with guns. Did all this shit. But look what he was for me.
It goes back to the death thing. That's something like to reminisce on. That's something to talk about. Well,
that's why it's here. You know what I mean? That's why I wanted to, before we left or anything like that, because we with the two breaks, we've been here over like almost an hour and a half. But I really wanted to praise him in death and say thank you. You know what I mean? Thank you for looking out. Thank you for taking care of me when I needed it. You know, like, I know if he could have it any other way, he would be with my aunt and my cousin and all that. I know he would want to be with his family and my girl, you know, but.
All right, Frederick, my crybaby song is Fly Like a Bird by Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
that's my cry song.
Nah, you know my other cry song?
What?
My other cry song?
What?
Is it Guns N' Roses? No, it's not Guns N' Roses. It's Pearl Jam. Hmm. Oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good. So I can see my baby when I leave this world. What? We was out on a date and my dad... You know that's a remake? I heard the original the other day in a Key Food. And I was like, that's how it's supposed to sound. Yep. It's like a 1940s, we were out on a date in my car.
That blew my mind when I heard like the Beatles when they had Little Hope for My Friends.
Okay,
And then like, you know, the original, the guy, Eddie, I think it's Vedder or something. He's like, what would you do? Yeah, the one on the Wendy's. Uh-huh. I didn't know that was a remake from the Beatles. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit. He just did it more like soulful.
Yeah, man. Fucking... Thank God for that music that gets made, you know, because
it gets you through.
It got me through this morning. I didn't have the strength to get out of bed, yo. I woke up at 7 o'clock and I had no strength to get out of bed. I felt so sad. I was like, fuck. And I wanted to avoid crying in the shower because I hate that shit. It'd be like I'd be in the shower. When you cry in the shower, the water just makes the tears flow more. I'm just over here like trying to catch up with the tears in the shower. Like no. So like yeah. Fuck. So I just
I can't cry in the shower. I gotta cry like
away from.
I can't cry like if I'm in like my room and there's nobody in the house. It's like that's the best cries of my life. But when I hear like people walking, even my dogs, I don't even cry in front of my dogs. Cause I'd be like embarrassed. Like they think they're talking to me. I feel like they're judging me when I'm crying. Like, well, why isn't it crying? What the fuck is that? Cause they don't cry. Dogs don't cry.
I got no bullshit. Dogs don't cry.
You ever seen tears come out of a dog's face?
My dog, when you leave the house and he's looking out through the window, put your finger by his little tear duct. Swear to God, it starts to get soaked. Starts to get soaked. He gets really sad.
Remember, every minute you're gone is like 7 minutes.
No, you're stupid.
So if you're going like an hour, that's just like 7 hours.
Yo, you got anything going on this week?
What's going on? Oh, next, I just realized. I hope I'm not bugging. I might actually have a show today that I did not realize.
Oh, talk to him. Walk him out.
Hold up. Because I might actually have a show today, and I'm probably going to fucking miss it because I didn't realize it. It's next week. Whew. I have a show next week. At Safari Restaurant. I don't know where it's at.
Brooklyn, Bronx, New York.
St. Nicholas Avenue.
St. Brooklyn.
I will say Brooklyn. It's next week. And I think that's going to be like my last show for the year. Yeah, pull up. It's on honor of Rabbi Yala. He passed away, unfortunately, earlier this year, on my birthday, which made it kind of worse when I found the news on my birthday that he passed away.
That sucks.
And yeah, and then a month later, they had like a ceremonial wake for him. And, you know, it was very beautiful. And I can't wait to his daughter is now running everything. Wait, he has a young daughter named Tiana that's kept curating, pretty much carrying on the legacy of his Fantasy and Color brand, you know, with his wife. So shout out to her for like, you know, reaching out to like the original artists. It was like me, Kent Lucas, BB. That's how we met. Like we met through that circuit, and you know, we were able to like just blossom a dope music friendship. And yeah, and I can't wait for the show. And I'm to honor a very awesome man. So
awesome.
So thank you very much, everybody. This is What's Up Everybody podcast, and I'm Piggy. That's Gilly. And peace.
Hey,
okay. Peace and love and goyos to you all. And now we're going to say, would you know my name if I saw you in
heaven? What?